Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. As we navigate forward on our podcast episodes, I would like to take one time per month and share with you a message that I've recently preached. I believe it can be a great encouragement to us, and it'll follow right in with our emphasis of taking your next step and following Jesus Christ. Listen in now.
So as we come to our service this morning, as we look across really our world, whether you're within Christianity, whether you're a part of the world, there's something that we all struggle with. And it's this idea or this truth of forgiveness. I would say if you look at our world is filled with so much anger and hate right now, both locally and nationally. People are so concerned with justice today that forgiveness really seems to be a big problem. The world, honestly, is starting to get a little bit offended with the idea of forgiveness. Think about the cancel culture. If you're not familiar with that, that's where you see someone does something wrong and they're canceled. They're done. There's an X over them. It's just all justice. There's no forgiveness. And it's justice at once. You made one mistake, you're done. That's it. It's not even three strikes. One strike and you're out. When you compare maybe the 60s civil rights movement to kind of what's going on today with a lot of the protests through COVID and different things that are going on, you'll see a stark contrast. You'll see this contrast of anger and justice versus love and forgiveness. And I would say this, that our greatest need as an individual, our greatest need as a family is that of forgiveness. Your greatest need today, unless you're perfect, is forgiveness. The greatest need is for you to receive forgiveness, but also to extend that forgiveness. As we come to Matthew chapter 18, we come to a parable. Now, parables are stories that Jesus used to communicate truth about God and how his kingdom works. He used them often. And the key to understanding a parable is to really identify the situation that prompted the parable, really understand the context of it, and then to identify who the characters are in that parable. We're going to go down in Matthew chapter 18. We'll read beginning in verse number 21. And this kind of sets the stage of why Jesus even started the parable. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of God likened," so we're starting our parable now, "unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out," watch what he does here, "and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid down," or he laid hands on him, "took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done." And then the Lord responds, "After that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And watch what verse 35 says. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Now, the context here is Jesus sets this up. Jesus is talking about in Matthew 18 how we handle divisions, how we handle offenses in the church when we've been wrong. There's kind of a step-by-step process to that. But then Peter speaks up, and you got to love Peter, and he says, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Is it 7 times? And Jesus said, no, it's 70 times 7. And if you're like me and you're doing the math right now, is it 7? Is it 490? Is it 49? You missed the whole point, like myself. It has nothing to do with the number. Jesus is emphasizing here, there's no limit to forgiveness. The characters here, we see the king would represent God, the first servant we see would represent you, me as a Christian, or just anyone. And the second servant is someone who offends us, who wrongs us. But the emphasis of the parable was all about this. It is forgiveness failure. And that is the common human story. I wish I could tell you that I was an expert on forgiveness. That every time someone offends me, I forgive and go on and I have no trouble with it. But I would be lying here this morning. Forgiveness is hard. It is difficult. And there's so many different variables, so many different emotions, so many different situations that it can come up in. Sometimes you caused it. Sometimes you didn't. Sometimes you didn't even ask for it, but it's brought on you. And you have to find a way inside to forgive. And can I say, it's not easy. But we understand through Scripture, we're required to forgive. And I don't know about that verse number 35 for you, but it's repeated numerous other times in Scripture. And that's one of those verses you almost want to go and go, I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. I'm not quite sure what Jesus means. But he says, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Scripture talks about if you will forgive, God will forgive. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive. It's like, what? I thought I was forgiven. What is Jesus talking about here? We're going to break that down. So in order to understand the cost, we're going to talk about the fact that forgiveness must cost you something. In order to understand that cost, first of all, we need to see the extreme debt that was owed. What was forgiven here in our parable? Jesus uses the imagery or the figure of financial debt. Why is that? Because we can understand the pockets when they hurt. Let somebody take money from you and you'll understand it quick. So we understand that, and he uses that to help us to understand the true nature of sin and the true nature of forgiveness. The talent here in our passage, verses 21 through 25, he says, verse number 25, he reckoned, that means he says, look, I want you to give an account, it's time. And he said he owed him 10,000 talents. When you first hear that, like, okay, it was $10,000, that's a lot of money, but that's not that big of an issue. But the talent was the highest sum of currency in that day. It was equal to 1 year's salary. If Jesus was to put it in today's terms, it would be something like this, about $400 million all the way up to possibly $1 billion that this man owed. Ouch, that's a lot of money. And if you take the average U.S. salary of about $63,000, if you put it at $400 million, it would take you about 6,349 years to pay the debt back. So what is being said here? It's a debt that cannot be paid back. Jesus is emphasizing the extreme nature of what is owed. It is such an extreme debt that he cannot, through every day of his life, pay this debt back. Why did Jesus use such an outrageous number? He wants us to understand the debt that you and I owe as individuals to God is incomprehensible. It's insurmountable. We could never do anything in our lifetime to pay it back. And that's what he wants you and I to understand. As a Christian in here today, you have been forgiven an extreme debt. Think about that. Don't overlook that. Don't let it go over your head to think, oh, God forgave me a little because I'm a good person. No, we're all rotten at the core. We're all sinners. And when you ask Jesus to forgive you, he forgave you an insurmountable, an extreme debt in our life. You were forgiven by Jesus. You were not canceled. You were forgiven. You say, what about justice? Justice was demanded, but you see forgiveness and justice meet at the cross. How was God's justice fulfilled and forgiveness given? In Jesus at the cross. You see, for the wages of sin is what is death. That's what you and I owe, and that's an extreme debt. But the gift of God is what is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's an extreme debt that was to be owed. Why was it forgiven? Look at verse number 27, 26 and 27. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The boss said, I know in my mind there's no way you can pay this back. I don't even know how I'll let you get this much money. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And watch this. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. You see, he said, please forgive me. And the reply was, I forgive you. When you say those words, I forgive you, there is a cost that must be incurred. The king had pity. The king had compassion. We understand compassion is love in action. And he offered him complete and total forgiveness. In salvation, you and I are forgiven by grace through faith. Why is it by grace? Because there's nothing we could ever do. There's nothing you could ever do to save yourself, to pay back to God, to earn favor with God, to do enough good works. It has to be through grace, which is a free gift that God gives us. So Jesus reveals the extreme debt that we owe, a debt we can never pay back. But secondly, we see the extraordinary forgiveness that was offered. The cost to forgiveness. And this is where it hurts. This is where forgiveness gets a little bit hard. Forgiveness is not free. Someone has to incur the cost to forgive. For example, we are redecorating some stuff at the campus house, and we were going around looking for stuff, and my wife was picking out some stuff, and she found two lamps. Sometimes it's hard to find matching lamps at like a Home Goods or a Hobby Lobby, but she found two matching lamps. She really liked them. I put them in the car. Braden's with me. I take the buggy, and I turn a corner, and whew, bam, one of the lamps hits the ground, and it's ceramic and it's, you know, busted. I'm going, that's not good. Ouch. So I pick it up, pick up all the little pieces. Braden's saying, Dad, you got to tell him. Dad, you got to tell him. Dad, you got to. We're going to tell him. We're going to tell him. So anyways, I go tell my wife first. Honey, dear, I broke the lamp. Hope you're not matching. It's fine. We'll find another one. And then I had to go to the Hobby Lobby employee and I said, sir, you know, I broke the lamp. Glad to pay for it. I know it was my fault. It fell out of the cart. I tried to pick up all the pieces. He said, no problem, you're forgiven, basically, essentially. We'll take care of it. The cost of the lamp didn't just poof, disappear. Hobby Lobby incurred the debt. If you loan somebody $1,000 and they don't pay you back, and you say, I'm going to forgive you of that debt, the $1,000 doesn't just poof, go away, vanish into thin air. No, that $1,000 is still missing from your pocket or your bank account. And when you say, look, I'm going to forgive you for that debt, financially speaking, I'm going to incur the cost. I'm going to take that $1,000 into the red, and I'm going to incur the cost. That's the cost of forgiveness. The king had to incur the total cost. And for our parable here, it was an extreme amount of money. It's more money than I could ever forgive someone because it's more money than I could ever give somebody. It was extreme. It was above our heads, incomprehensible. You see, God had to incur an incomprehensible cost to forgive you. It cost God his one and only son. And it cost him his life. You see, the cost to give was extreme. But you and I like to limit forgiveness. We like to say, three strikes and you're out. Done. That's all I'll give you. Been there, done that. We like to be like Peter. Well, maybe I'll stretch it to seven. And Jesus says, nope. Sorry, your seven ain't working either. It's more than seven. Jesus is revealing to you and I that there is not a limit on the amount of times we are to forgive, nor is there a limit on the cost of that forgiveness. Zero. That's the emphasis here. Now, as we think about you and I giving forgiveness, let me share with you some conflicting ways of forgiveness. There are all different people you can read and see, and they'll identify different ways that you and I can forgive. Tim Keller does a great job in one of his books, and he narrows them down like this, and it helps me to understand them. Number one is this: no grace. You don't forgive at all. That's what the servant turned around in our parable and did. It says, I will not forgive. There's no way for what you've done. I cannot forgive it. It's justice over forgiveness. And honestly, unforgiveness is a form of retaliation. We'll talk about that a little bit. But this is forgiveness failure. And that's where my background came from with forgiveness. Some of you know the lifestyle. I was heavily involved in selling drugs. And so in that type of lifestyle, to forgive shows that you're weak. To forgive can be the difference of freedom in prison. To forgive can be the difference of life and death. And so there's only one strike and you're gone. When you break loyalty, you're done. And that's the kind of background I came from. And so this idea when I entered into Christianity was a little bit foreign. Like, whoa, like, okay, they did it once and I have to forgive. Ooh, they did it again. I have to forgive. I don't want to. But then I began to realize, ooh, I did that once. I need forgiveness. Ooh, I did that twice. I need forgiveness. And it began to hurt. And I began to see a little bit something different about forgiveness. To the point of one night early on, we went to the diner there in our hometown. And I saw a young man sitting in the diner. This was probably, I guess, maybe saved 3 or 4 years. And he was a young man I had done something to. I had just lied all the way through it and just, you know, bad situation. And I left the diner feeling very convicted and got in the car and drove down Highway 70 and hit the median and turned around. And I believe I did that maybe a couple times. And man was like, what are you doing? Go, let's go home. I said, I can't. I said, he's in there. She's like, what are you talking about? And I began to share with her the story. I said, I've hurt him. I lied. I just, all the way through. And I walked my little self in there, I guess you'd say, up to him and addressed his name, and his eyes are big, like, all right, what's about to go on here? And I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. I was wrong. I did this, and I did this, and I know it hurt you, and I know it caused this, and I'm sorry. And if there's anything that I can do to pay it back, to fix the thing. And he said, looked at me, he said, no, I forgive you. The fact that you are being honest and even asking forgiveness is enough. But there's times in our lives when we will not even realize one of two things, that we need forgiveness and we will need to go to someone to get that forgiveness. But then there's times in our lives when you and I will not give forgiveness. We will harbor emotions, anger, hate, frustration, and sometimes we won't even realize that we are not forgiving. I found myself in that situation too many times. And here we see there's conflicting ways of forgiveness. The no grace way is not the way to forgive. Not forgiving at all. Secondly, is little grace. And this is where we'll fall sometimes. We're going to forgive with stipulations. I will forgive as long as. You fill in the blank. As long as they will say sorry. I'm not forgiving until they say sorry. That's not the biblical way. I will forgive as long as they fix. Hobby Lobby. I'll forgive as long as you pay for the lamp. Whatever type of stipulation we want to connect to it. It's forgiving with stipulations. But this gives you and I power over the victim. This allows you and I to control the situation. This allows you and I to manipulate them in some way or form. And honestly, this is making them earn their forgiveness. And this is no different than the false doctrine of earning your salvation. It's the same thing that we're trying to do. You were completely forgiven freely. But we want to say, no, you need to do this. No, you need to meet this stipulation. You need to, but that's not biblical forgiveness. And this also is forgiveness failure. The third one is this, cheap grace. And this is why sometimes we're like, I don't want to forgive. It's forgiving with no justice. Have you ever heard this, forgive and forget? I've heard that so many times. In my young life, in my Christian life, if you forgive, you have to forget. That's impossible. So that can't be true biblical forgiveness. Basically, we're saying, look, I won't approach the situation to seek justice. I'll forget about it. There's no reform. There's no reconciliation. We're going to try to totally avoid it. The dangerous pitfall that this type of forgiveness is, sometimes it can allow people to continue in their behavior. Forgiveness does not say, hey, there's no justice. Hey, we don't deal with the situation at hand. Cheap grace is also forgiveness failure. But number four is the type of forgiveness that we're talking about, and it's costly grace. It's forgiving completely no matter the cost. It's I will forgive because God has forgiven me, and He's called me to forgive no matter the cost. But we will also work to bring correction and restitution to the situation. But sometimes people on the other side like to say, oh, if you forgive it, if you've forgiven me, you got to forget it. But remember, that's the wrong type of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean we don't try to correct the behavior. Forgiveness means I forgive you fully. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter the amount of times. But how can we correct this? How can we fix this situation so that it doesn't occur again? All in love. You and I are supposed to speak the truth in love. And when we don't speak the truth back, then guess what? We're not loving that person. We're just trying to avoid the situation. Justice and forgiveness can go and should go hand in hand. What type of forgiveness are we to use? It's costly grace. It's forgiveness and justice both bound together, and this is forgiveness success. This is the way we are supposed to forgive. So Jesus teaches us the extreme debt that was owed. Then He goes in and talks about the extraordinary forgiveness that was offered. And that brings the parable now home to you and I. And we look lastly at the example of forgiveness that we must show. In verses 28 through 35, He begins to put the application on you and I. It says in verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. He loosed him and forgave him. But now that same person that's been forgiven goes and does something. But the same servant in verse 28 went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Stark contrast to the way he was dealt with. I mean, think about it. He's putting his hands on him, the anger, the frustration, putting his hand around his throat. We got a problem there. I mean, this is pretty vicious. This is pretty hardcore. But notice the amount. He owed him 100 pence. Remember, the last one was a talent. He owed him 10,000 talents. A talent was a year's wage. Here, a pence is a day's wage. Big difference in the amount of money that is owed. You see, he only owed 600 pence. That was the average earned per day. He could have paid this back if he wanted to within a few months. So this was a debt that could have been repaid. Yet he was not willing to forgive him of that debt. He was greedy and stingy with God's mercy and God's grace. He was greedy and stingy with the forgiveness that he had already received. It's like, how could you? He had a moral obligation to forgive the man the same way he was forgiven. But wow, it's almost like, how could you do that? Like, how could you act that way? How could you respond to someone like that when that's not how you were treated? Jesus is bringing this home to you and I. Because this is where we fall on the forgiveness failure side too often. And Jesus is showing you and I we have to be willing to pay the cost in forgiveness. Notice the king's response here. So he does this. It says he's going to put him in prison until he can pay the debt. How's he going to pay the debt in prison? Then his other fellow servants, his other co-workers see what's going on. They go tell the boss, hey, look, this is what just happened. We want to fill you in. You didn't see it, but this is what's going on. Then verse 32, then his Lord said after he had called him, said unto him, look what he says. Oh, thou wicked servant. Ouch. And he says, this is why you're wicked. I forgave thee all that debt. because you desired me. You asked for forgiveness, and I gave it to you. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? So the king's response was, hey, he called him a wicked servant. Speaking to you and I, it would be you wicked Christian. It's like, how do those terms even go together? But that's what he's saying. When you and I do not forgive, whether we forgive via stipulations, whether we won't forgive, whether it's three strikes, seven strikes, whatever it is, when we don't forgive, God says, thou wicked Christian. That's what the passage says. That scares me a little bit. But that's what Jesus says. Why? Because we're acting unjustly. We are acting wickedly. Because you and I have been forgiven an insurmountable debt that we can't forgive someone. But you say, you don't know what they've done. You don't know how many times. You don't know how long this has been going on. I don't even begin to understand, because there are so many different variables that go into the way our lives clash, connect, mix, and so forth. But Jesus understands. And if anybody understands about forgiveness, it would be him, the way he was treated constantly by his own people, what was going on in his life. So he called him a wicked servant. In verse 34, he's very angry. His Lord was wroth. Essentially, God is angry with our actions when we're like that. He threw him in jail and made him repay the debt that he had forgiven him. He said, look, if you ain't going to extend forgiveness, you're going to pay. You're going to pay what you owed. And this is Jesus setting up this parable so you and I can see ourselves when we don't forgive, and we can see how God looks at us and how God is going to interact with you and I. This is a very powerful statement given in Scripture. If we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. Or we are forgiven as we forgive others. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, refusing to forgive reveals a lack of appreciation for God's mercy and what he's done in our life. And when we disregard God's mercy, God says, I'll disregard my mercy in your life. Now, we understand it's not talking about our sins forgiven for salvation, but our sins forgiven in relationship with him. He tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from how many? All our sins. How many times can you mess up, Kyle? How many times can you repeatedly do that when you know you're not supposed to do that? How many times can you ask for forgiveness? And he says, I don't care. I will forgive you every single time. I will incur the cost, no matter how high the cost is. And because I've done that for you, when you interact with your family members, when you interact with your spouse, when you interact with your kids, your parents, you have to forgive the same way that I've forgiven you. And yet there's so much anger and so much division and so much unwillingness to forgive, even in the church. Because you don't know what they did. You don't know how they did it. And I don't. I know people have done stuff, and I know people have brought stuff into my life I didn't ask for, and I don't want to forgive it. To be honest, in the flesh, I just don't. They must pay. And until they pay, until they do satisfy whatever my requirements are, then I'll forgive them. And then I might throw it back out at them. I might hang it back out over their head. That's not forgiveness. And that's why forgiveness is so hard, and that's why forgiveness must cost you something. If it's not costing you something, it's not biblical forgiveness. It's not forgiving the way you were forgiven, nor is it forgiving the way Jesus wants you to forgive. And that's hard. But you and I can do it because we have the example. We have Scripture that tells us that we can do it. Notice what happens when we fail to forgive. Verse 34 says, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. He threw him in jail. Do you realize when you fail to forgive, you put yourself in your own jail? You put yourself in prison. You build a prison in your own life. When you know people that are unwilling to forgive, or when you have been unwilling to forgive, what begins to grow? Bitterness begins to take root. And the longer you are unwilling to forgive that, it affects not them, but you. And bitterness grows and it grows and it grows into anger. And before long, you find yourself in your own prison. And you won't release the bitterness. We'll put ourselves in prison through anger and bitterness by withholding things from ourselves. I won't do it because I know he or she'll like it, so I ain't doing it. How many times have you done that? I won't go there because he or she will like it or be there or whatever the case is. And you begin withholding stuff from your own self. I've been there. What am I doing? I'm putting myself in a prison. We begin putting ourselves in prison by building up walls. They hurt me. I will never allow that to happen again. Wall number one. They did that. I can't trust that. Wall number two. And you go on and on. Next thing you know, you have built walls all around your life. You'll let nobody in. You're pushing everybody out. All because I will not forgive. Because the cost is too high. Because I've already forgiven three times. And I'm tired of forgiving. Imagine if God was tired of forgiving. Imagine if Jesus said, oh, that's enough. That's one nail in the hand. That's as far as I'm going. You're not putting the other one in there. I can't forgive that far. That's not what he did. We put ourselves in prisons if we're not forgiving. And lastly here, forgiving must cost us something. What does it mean to forgive? When someone wrongs you, there's that unavoidable sense that they must repay. They must pay the debt because you incurred something, whether emotionally, whether trust, whether financially, whatever it is. There's something that has incurred. And there's that natural bent that they must pay it off. And when they do that, I will forgive it. You feel that natural pressure to do that. But when you and I say forgive, doesn't mean the debt disappears. The 10,000 talents were still there. But when you say forgive, you're transferring the cost from them to you. When Hobby Lobby said, I forgive you, the cost went from me to them. And when you look at your parents and you say, I forgive you for blah, 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 or you look at your children and say, I forgive you, or you look at your spouse and say, I forgive you, you are transferring the cost from them to yourself. You're assuming the debt. And it's done. That's what Jesus did. When you said, Jesus, please forgive me, he said, I forgive you, and I'm assuming the cost. You don't have to pay anything. And that is the cost that is required for you and I to forgive people. Forgiving is giving up completely the right to revenge. That's what forgiveness is. It's the right to seek repayment. That's what forgiveness is. You're ultimately promising them, I will not retaliate. I will not take revenge. I will not make you pay XYZ. I'm assuming that. Done. But that's where forgiveness gets hard, because people do stuff that you didn't ask for. You didn't ask to incur the debt. You didn't ask mom and dad to do that. You didn't ask your friend to do that. You didn't ask your wife or your husband to do that. But they did it. And now you have to incur the cost. And they did it again. And you have to incur the cost. And you're tired of incurring the cost. But in your own life, people around you are doing the same thing, because you're messing up. And they're having to incur the cost. You're messing up. They're having to incur the cost. The thing about forgiveness like this, it is a form of voluntary suffering. It's a form of voluntary suffering. The Bible tells us that you and I really are never more like Jesus than when we suffer. Peter talks in depth about that. So really, when we're able to forgive someone, we're never more like Jesus. When we get that opportunity to do to someone else what he did for us, but we don't like to do that, we don't want to do that, but he calls us to it. Forgiveness is always very expensive. It is very expensive. It is pride costly. It is emotionally costly. But biblical forgiveness must cost us something. Forgiveness will always cost you something, or it is not biblical forgiveness. And I think the key to understanding forgiveness, obviously we said this morning, is the cross. It was through that extreme debt that you and I owed, and the extreme forgiveness that God offered through Jesus Christ. It's only until you and I can correctly understand that. And I've been a Christian for about 20 years, and I don't fully understand it, because I still struggle to forgive. I still do things, not out of love, to still need forgiveness. And we can't use those things as an excuse, but we are human. But until I can fully wrap my mind and my heart around what Jesus did on that cross and what he incurred and what he gave, and when I can wrap my mind and my heart around that, whatever you do, don't start doing stuff, whatever you do, right, I got to forgive you. And I got to seek unity. Like, I'm not saying this because I know there's all this division in church this morning. I don't know anything. But I know enough to know there's division in the church. There's some of you sitting here this morning that need to forgive somebody across the other side. Or your family member, or somebody at a different church. There's somebody sitting here this morning that need to forgive your parents because they didn't have it all right, and they're sorry. And they've said it, but you're harboring. You've got bitterness and anger, and it's messing you up. You've got spouses in here who are sitting a little bit further apart this morning because you're frustrated and you're tired of forgiving. And you just can't extend it one more time. But that's what we're called to do. And when the forgiveness can be given, there's healing and there's unity. And forgiveness brings all that together. And when you and I wrap our minds around that cross of what Jesus did as he hung there, the suffering, the anguish, all of that, and realize what took place. I mean, Christianity, like if you could put a logo on the wall with a tagline, you could put Christianity, love and forgiveness. That's what it's all about. And yet I say Christian with no love and no forgiveness. What kind of Christian is that? He says a wicked one. He says, one that I'm going to throw in jail, one that I won't forgive. Those are powerful statements. So the question is, has your debt been forgiven? If you're here this morning and you've never called out to Jesus Christ to save you, to forgive you of your sin, you can do that. He offers you the free gift of eternal life, and that can be taken anywhere. It can be in this pew. It could be at the altar. It could be in your car. It can be at home. For me, it was in my apartment on a green leather couch. That's where it took place. And I'll never forget it. But for you, has there been a time in your life when you've called out to him? If you died today, where would you go? Do you say, I'd go to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. Do you say, I don't know. I'm not quite sure where I'd go. Or do you say, look, no, I know I'd go to hell. Do you know you can call out to him? And the Bible says he will forgive you of what? All your sins. You don't need to clean up. Stop trying to clean up to come to him. That's not what it's about. He wants you to come to him so he can clean you up, so he can fix you. You don't have to fix yourself before you come to him. He will fix you. I was a mess. I was broken. But when I came to him, guess what? He began to put the pieces back together. And I'm still a work in progress. But have you called out to him this morning? And the next question is, have you forgiven that person? Somebody may have come to your mind this morning. Somebody may not have. But if somebody came to your mind and you know, but it's just hard and I don't want to forgive them, what can you do to forgive them? How can you ask God to help you? Because until you forgive them, you're giving them control over you, you're putting yourself in prison, and you know how God feels about it. That's clear in Scripture. If you'll bow your heads with me this morning and close your eyes. There are people in here that need to be forgiven. I am one of them. I do not do everything right. I mess up consistently. And I need forgiveness from those that are closest to me. I need forgiveness from my children. I need forgiveness from my wife. I need forgiveness from my family. I need forgiveness from my friends. I need forgiveness from you, because I'm not always going to get it right. If you've wronged someone, go to them and apologize. Seek forgiveness and work to make things right. There are others in here that need to forgive. You've been going too long holding on to it. It's making you angry, bitter, and you're sitting in your own prison. Start by asking God to forgive you for not forgiving. Ask God to search your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways and see if there be any wicked thing in me. God will show you. Take the first step and go to them. Pick up the phone. Call. Stop holding on to it. Stop letting it eat you up. Stop letting it make you bitter and angry. Stop letting it affect other people in your life by your attitude. Stop letting it affect what God could do in your family, in your personal life, in this church. Set yourself free.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.